Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's somewhere in the middle of Ty Tribbett's song, You Are Good. And yes, God is good. God really, really is good. He is a good God. He is a good Father. Could you just remind yourself of that? All right, I believe you will be reminded also a lot more as the teaching, you know, goes on. Welcome to your morning faith boost, your morning energizer, your morning coffee. All right, so it's good. Great week. Welcome to Monday. All right, for someone, I'm sure if it's like, oh, today Monday? Yes, it is. So welcome to Monday. Every day is a good day. Every day is a great day. So I believe you would have had a great time, you know, with the last series we had, which was on meditation. Just in case you missed anyone, just kindly scroll through, all right, and then you find all the episodes you might have missed, and you will be greatly helped. So, yep, this week we have a new series going on, How to Receive from God. How to Receive from God. And this is awesome, awesome, awesome. All right. Awesome as in awesome as in awesome. Ha ha, hallelujah. All right. You know, so because receiving from God is an important topic, receiving from God. You know, sometimes you're like, okay, but I asked, why didn't I get it? Oh, but I prayed, what didn't happen? Or why did this happen? We have the whole week, all right? So remember, it's now Monday through to Friday, Monday through Friday, all right? So we will build up, and you will have a wonderful time. So welcome once again to your morning faith boost. Glory to God. All right, so jumping straight into the show. When you think of receiving from God, you know, I mean, it's as easy as I need to pray, right? I need to pray. Let me just pray and then, you know, I just get what I want. Isn't that it? You know, so as simple as that sounds, you know, it's amazing now how that very many times you and I have prayed about a whole lot of things and we didn't get them, all right? So as easy as it is to, I mean, just to pray now and say amen. You know, as easy as that sounds, we don't get everything we ask for all the time. So one major thing that defeats prayer, is lack of knowledge, and that's ignorance, okay? I'm sure you already know, okay, so the verses come to your mind. My people are destroyed because they lack knowledge. So one very major hindrance to prayer is a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed because they lack knowledge, all right? So one thing to do to defeat that is to endeavor to know what exactly the will of God is. Let's quickly see 1 John and chapter 5. 1 John 5. All right, 1 John 5. It's after Peter. You found it? 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Okay. So now 1 John 5 and the 14th verse of 1 John 5 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. 15 says, and if we know that he hears us, then whatever we ask, then we know that we have received the petition we desired of him. You know, so some notice and like, yeah, but I prayed according to his will. There might be certain factors because I'm not teaching how to pray this week. It's how to receive. How to receive. Sometimes you pray, okay, but you didn't receive. So how exactly do I receive? So the issue really is receiving. Okay, the issue is how to receive. So I trust that within 5 days, we will be able to cover a large chunk. I mean, it's a wide topic, but the basic, you know, concerns or the basic principles around it. So 1 John 5, 14, 15 again says, and this is the confidence, and you need to know this. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. So if you ask according to his will, meaning you need to know what the will is and ask according to his will. So if we ask according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, all right, whatever we ask, we know that we have received or we have the petition that we desired of him. So that means for God to hear is for God to answer. For God to hear is for once he hears you. I mean, if you know he heard you, then you know he answered you, right? All right, but 14 says, if we ask according to his will, we know we're heard. Then if we know we're heard, then we know we're answered. So we've got to build this and it will be clear. So you need to take the place of ignorance out of the picture. You need to settle in your heart what is the will of God. Matthew chapter 8, quite interesting. Matthew 8, Because you can't demand from God what you are not sure God is willing to give to you. Matthew 8 from verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy left. Did you get that? Okay. Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, and said, I will, be thou clean. And please take note, all right? There's no case that anybody told Jesus, please come and heal, and just said, I am not willing. I know you might quickly think of the case of a Syrophoenician woman where Jesus told her, listen, I cannot give the food that belongs to children. You know, I give it to dogs. You know, and then the woman demanded. Jesus was basically wanting to locate her place of faith because Jesus operated primarily when he was on the earth as the prophet of Israel, all right, the one sent to Israel. However, he ministered to everybody. Don't forget that the centurion also was not an Israeli, all right? So he said, oh, in this case of the centurion, I have not found any faith like this so great, not even in Israel, all right? So the centurion exercised great faith according to Jesus. The Syrophoenician woman also that needed deliverance for her daughter, you know, activated that high level faith. So you find that he operated primarily as the one sent to Israel, you know, but yet again, no schism. If you remember John 4, he sat at the well to talk to the Samaritan woman, and then he spent days in Samaria himself also. So Jesus said, I am willing, all right, verse 3. All right, verse 4 says, and Jesus said unto him, see that you tell no man, go thy way, show yourself to the priest, offer the gifts that Moses commanded for testimony unto men. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies sick at home of palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus answered unto him, verse 7, I will come and heal him. So healing is the will of God. Healing, God wills to heal. God wills to heal. Okay, so we need to deal with anything that makes us ignorant. And one area we are largely ignorant of, all right, is the will of God. Another area is, okay, how exactly do we receive and how do we pray? So what I'm already touching now is dealing with three abilities or three areas to consider. God can. Most of us don't have a problem with the ability of God, all right? We don't. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. He is able, all right? So we love it, we sing it, we shout it, he is able, and that's true, he is able. But while we understand that he's able, while we also do not argue with the fact that all things are possible to him, and then while we do not argue with the fact that nothing is difficult with God, I mean, he is the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for him to do? So while we don't have issues with any one of that, so because we don't have issues with the ability of God, I mean, if we say, oh, can God heal the sick? Everybody goes, yeah, he can. Then we move to the next question. Will he heal the sick now? This, maybe now point at a sick person, you know? Will he? And then feel, because we're beginning to think, okay, maybe I'm the one that might need to pray the prayer, so I don't know if it will happen. So we don't have a problem with God's ability. And in some cases, we don't have a problem with God's willingness. But interestingly, some of us do have a problem with, okay, I know he can, but will he do it for me now? There's this subtle, and this is, we're already dealing with one of the things that hinder, you know, our receiving from God. Can God do this? Yes. Will he do it for you? I'm not sure. And if you'd really be sincere, that thing sometimes is in there. And that, as tiny as it is a big hindrance to prayer. That uncertainty. I know God wants him to have a great life. But I don't know if he wants him to have it now. And then sometimes it's those feelings of piety that comes. You know, maybe he wants me to grow spiritually a lot more so that the prosperity I'm going to get will not kill me or, you know, hurt me. And those things come, you know, someone is not well in the hospital. And then, God can. I know I will not die here and I'm going to get better. But will God heal you now? You know, so we could say, will he heal you? He will. My God, he loves me. He will. Will he heal you now? I actually have not been praying well. I don't think I've been. I'm not in a good. I'm not in his good book at the moment. There are times I feel, since I've been in this hospital now, I've gotten five people born again. So, maybe God is just keeping this sickness inside me so that, his will. And those things, when they come, they are subtle. And they are powerful enough to hinder us from receiving. Are you getting that? So three areas again. Can God? Usually we don't have a problem with that. Will God? Some easily switch to it. Some don't. Will God do it now? We find more people switch off. Please listen to what I'm saying and think about it. Will he do it now? Can God ensure I get a promotion at work? Yes. Will he? I know he will. Someday. It's easy for us to have this post-dated faith. Someday he will. Will he do it now? I know the Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack. I know. So can he provide all your needs? Yes. Will he do it? I've been younger now. I'm over. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed beg for bread. Okay, so will God supply your need now? It's subtle, and I want you to think about it. Please play this back again, if you don't mind. Listen to this point very well. Pause at this area if you can and ask yourself this question. Could there be something subtle, something this subtle yet powerful hindering me? Okay, so we're going to travel further again. And then I believe also some of the things we're going to look at quickly would knock that barrier off you. Okay, now, can God? Will God? Two areas we get stuck on. But there's a third one we usually don't look at. When I say can God, it's like we're asking, so what can he do? Ability. When we say will God, we look at his willingness. But do you know that there's a third one, and that's the fact that God has. God has. God has. Okay? If you look at first, well, let's look at Isaiah 53 first. In Isaiah 53, Isaiah was speaking by revelation about the sacrifice of Jesus for us. And then he says himself, all right, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. Isaiah 54, 53, 4 and 5. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We are healed. So it shows he can, all right? He will. He sent Jesus willingly, freely, for God to love the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God was willing enough to rescue us, and he sent Jesus. Note something. 1 Peter 2:24 now says, who his own self bore our sins. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin may live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Isaiah says we are healed. Peter says we were healed, saying the same thing, but in two different ways, and the different ways already make them two worlds apart. So Isaiah seems to be looking by revelation at the cross, seeing Jesus take away our sickness and our sin. Peter now looks behind at what God had already done and says, by his stripes, we have been healed. Now, so when it comes to healing, for instance, we began with ignorance. You need to know what the will of God is, okay? So we understand that healing for you and I is the will of God. Are you getting that? Healing is the will of God. So we found it. We found it in God's word. It is the will of God. Okay, I'll say this another way. It will stick. Healing is God's will. So now some know healing is God's will, all right? But they still treat 1 Peter 2:24 as a promise. When you talk about promises in the Bible, 1 Peter 2:24 is not a promise, all right? It's a reality, all right? So I understand that generally we call the entire Bible promise, all right? We talk about the word of God, promises. When I remember his promises, I shout hallelujah. So we remember promises, But because that's how we call everything we find in the Bible, we treat certain things that are realities, that have already been done, that are facts. We treat them as promises. Healing is not a promise. Healing is a fact. Healing is settled. Please, I'll say that again. Healing is not a promise. Now, whether we receive it or not has nothing to do with God wanting to give it or not. Healing is not a promise. Why? Because God has given it. Please understand this. So when it comes to things like healing, you don't say, oh, can God? Really, you don't even say, will he? Because the third one neutralizes the first two. He has. He has. He has. He has. By whose stripes you have been healed. So don't forget, I said earlier, I'm not teaching on how to pray. I'm teaching on how to receive. How to receive. So if he has healed me, really, in this place, there's no need to pray for the healing. What you do is receive the healing. Are you getting this now? It's not pray for it, receive it. Get that? Because very many times you pray for things that have already been given to you. All right? So you are asking God for something and God says, I have given it to you. What do? Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Please get this. When it comes to healing, you do not pray, oh God, heal me. I know a number of people do, and then you might say, oh, but I prayed that way and God healed me. Many times God heals us, all right, in spite of our prayer. It's his love at work, all right? But to understand how it works better, you don't ask for what he's already done. Remember when God said to Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. After that, Abraham did not come back to say, okay, God, so when would I get the child? No, God said, I have made you. And that's why Romans chapter 4 said, Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. All right. So he stood on what God said. God said he has done it. So he has done it. All right. So I'm going to call myself by the new name, Father of Many Nations, because he said he has made me a father of many nations. Do you understand that? So there was no more conversation. But you need to, I trust that those subtle things are being knocked out already. Healing is settled, is done. Oh, Lord, bless me. I know you by that mean something material. I want to see it and all of that. But Ephesians 1 and 3 says you have been blessed. You are already blessed. So what God has given, you don't ask about. What he has given, you don't pray for. Yes, you might pray like Paul did in Ephesians 1 from verse 17, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may see and know the things that he has done for you, not so that he may do them, all right? So that you may know, or you pray Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 16, that you are strengthened with might by God's Spirit in your inner man, because those are now the things we need. We need that capacity to hold, right? That help by the Spirit and, you know, from the Holy Ghost to hold on to the Word of God, the Word of life. So God has. Please understand this. So really, for many cases or things, you don't say, can he? You don't say, will he? Because you look at, oh, he has. By whose stripes? You. And I feel that for someone out there, I need to say this a few times. By whose stripes? You listening to me. You have been healed. You have been healed. You have been healed. You have been healed. Yes, say it. You have been healed. You have been healed. You have been. You have been healed. You've been already healed. Already healed. Yes, that pain in your neck, that pain in your head, that pain in your back. You have been healed. Yes, you have been healed. No matter what the diagnosis is, you have been healed. You have been healed. You have been healed. All right, and I believe there's immunity inside this verse. Because if you have been healed, it means whatever is trying to get on you, you've already been healed from it. You were healed before you knew it. God has done it. Oh, glory to God. He has done it. So you don't say, okay, if I pray according to his will, he hears me. Okay, Lord, I'm praying according to your will. Is your will for you to heal me? So heal me. No, the fact that he has done this neutralizes it. Please understand the importance. We said in the beginning, we need to knock off ignorance. So you can't ask for what has been done. All right. Another area that trips us off easily, you know, is in us trying to be quite sincere with God. You know, so you say, Lord, if it be your will. All right. If it be your will is one of the greatest paralyzers of prayers. All right. If it be your will is one of the greatest paralyzers of receiving from God, because it's subtle again. You know, but what if I don't know if it's God's will? Yes, maybe in certain areas of specificity, in, you know, certain things about direction or purpose. But you don't pray if it is your will when the will of God is clear. Okay? You don't pray that. All right. So 3 John verse 2. All right. Bible says there that, beloved, I wish or I pray above all things, all right, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. All right. It's clear. I want you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So it is clear from 3 John 2 that your well-being is God's concern. It's God's, you know, concern. And the beloved Apostle John said it is his own great prayer for at least those he wrote to, but for all of us. I pray, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospered. Psalm 35 verse 27 says, let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his people. I'll take that again. Psalm 35, 27 says, let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So God is pleased when you prosper. Do you get that now? God is pleased when you prosper. Settle that in your heart. All right? Settle that in your heart. God is pleased when you prosper. Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11 ends by saying, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. All right. So I'm giving you instances. I'm giving you Bible verses. I'm giving you confirmation now to show you that, listen, the will of God for you is good. The will of God for you is prosperity. So let's look at Luke 11, all right? Luke 11 from 11 to 13. Please follow the reading. Luke 11, 11 to 13. Follow the reading in case you don't have Bible with you, but I know there's one likely on your phone. So you might want to see this yourself, all right? And every other one I've mentioned. All right, so Luke 11, 11 says, if a son asks bread of any one of you who is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? You know the answer right here is no, okay? You won't give stone to a child that asks for bread. You will not give, you know, a snake to a child that asks for fish. You will not give scorpion to a child who asks for an egg. So 13 says, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, all right? If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? So he's saying if men, and I mean men, or you know, men in their best state, all right, still are not God. So if you being human, if you being what you are, would still want to do great, you know, by your kids. You want to treat them right. You want to take care of them. If you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? And this is a relevant question. You know, how much more? How much more? So the Bible is letting us understand here that, listen, God will do far better than an earthly father. Did you get that? God will do far, far better than an earthly father. God, I mean, some people go into, you know, a place like Luke 18, read about the unjust judge, you know, and how that the woman had to, you know, bother him a lot. And the judge said, ah, lest she worries me, let me just answer her. You know, and then they treat God, you know, like that and say, ah, you need to bombard God and disturb him before God can answer you. Remember, the Bible says, you know, men ought always to pray and not faint. No. The men ought always to pray and not faint. That means pray and believe, all right? Have faith. Because at the end of the story that Jesus told, he said, when the Son of Man is come, will he find faith in the earth? So it was teaching about faith, not about bombarding God. All right? Because first of all, God is not the unjust judge. The Bible says there that the unjust judge doesn't regard God or man. So that's not God. That's not the character of God. Okay? So you find that we just use some of those areas to, you know, disturb ourselves and say, what if God is not going to answer me? And what if I have to bother him and bother him and bother him and bother him and bother him? This is because you are not sure about the goodness of God. Okay? But you must be sure. You must be certain God is good. Are you getting that? God is good. So you don't pray, if it be your will, Lord, heal me. That's one of the greatest things that can hinder prayer, like, so fast. If, you know, me still praying, I'm using the song praying for healing, even if, which really you don't need to, you know. You don't say, oh God, if it be your will, you know, prosper me. It is his will. He is excited when his children prosper. Settle it. All right. It's not a prayer, you know, if it be your will. You could not say, you know, I would like to go to Lagos tomorrow. You know, like Paul says, you know, I want to come by your way, you know, if God wills. He wants to be certain, is that the plan of God in this matter? So it's purpose inclined. It's being led by the Spirit inclined, as it were. You know, Jesus did not even pray, if it be your will. What Jesus said is, not my will, but yours be done. All right. So he said, not my will, because he knew what the will of God is. All right. Or we could say was in that instance. He knew what it was. So he was simply saying, this is how I feel about it. All right. Ah, Father, I just wish that this cup will pass from me, but not my will. So it was a consecration, you know, conversation with the Father. Not my will. So not, if it is your will, oh, I don't know if it's your will. No, he knew the will. He knew the Father will have him go to the cross. So don't come up with, if it be your will, let me be healed. If it be your will, let me live long. With long life, you need to get into God's word and assure yourself, like we just finished reading in Luke 11:13. If men, being evil, know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more God? Please think about that verse. How much more God? If men, being evil, know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more God? Now, one thing also that defeats a lot of us from receiving, please note, we're dealing with how to receive. Prayer is involved in how to receive. But let me say this. You can receive from God through prayer, but you can receive from God with words without prayer. I'm going somewhere with that. All right. Because the instrument, all right, that we use to receive from God, all right, you know what I'm about to say already. Yes, faith. All right. So faith works in prayer. But faith also works in words. Words. Mark 11:23 says, if you say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. So I can speak, believe I receive. All right? Because I can take authority and say, in the name of Jesus, I declare that this is mine now. I've just received. But I didn't have to say, in the name of Jesus, Father, I'm asking that you give me. All right? We'll get this. We'll get it sorted out. But dealing with receiving, you could just receive by, you know, by the confessions, you know, of your mouth. All right. Now, so in rounding up this morning, I believe this is helpful. Send in questions. You could write here, you know, drop a question or comment or something, you know, well, quickly, gotta go. All right. So don't be defeated. All right. So some think, okay, I know God is good, but I don't know if I am worthy. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So every good thing God has available, you qualify. You qualify. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not freely with him also give us all things? All right. So we're learning how to receive from God. So we'll be back here again tomorrow, 7 a.m. Nigerian time. You know, so kindly drop in questions, drop in comments, drop in whatever it is. You know, will be of help to you or to other listeners. Follow. Kindly follow on the page. See you tomorrow.